good to be here. I am from Michigan, but even in Michigan, I was a transplant. I'm a New Yorker. So I'm not sure what team you root for when you're from New York. And I'm not a Michigan fan. I'm a Michigan State fan, just so all of you understand that. So when Michigan plays Ohio, I root for Ohio because I like Michigan even less than I like Ohio. You kind of get that? It's a little confusing for you Ohio people. But yes, I grew up in Western New York and helped pastor a church there for quite a few years, was in construction there. And then in 1990, we moved to Pigeon, Michigan, where my wife, Karen, who's with me, was from, and pastored her home church for 16 years, just across the bay from Augray. It's 20 miles away, but it takes 2 hours to get there. You got to go around the bay. And what a blessing that was. And a couple years ago, the Lord led us to Rosedale Mennonite Missions, and I get to work with Keith. There he is, yeah. That's a blessing. And it's been really wonderful to come and be a part of the community here. But one of the things we have missed is we really haven't quite found a church home yet. And so, when we come to a place like this, you could woo us to stay. A lot of my job for Rosedale Mennonite Missions is as director of communications to travel. So we travel to CMC churches all over. So a lot of weekends we're gone traveling. And we, along with several other couples, have been working on a little church plant. We're not quite sure what it is, in Mechanicsburg. So it's great. We've enjoyed it. We've been blessed by it. We've blessed others by it. But when we come home, we kind of wonder, now, was that church or not? And when we come here, it just feels like home, feels like church. Appreciated the worship. This young lady here at the keyboard just blessed me this morning as I saw her heart and listened to you sing. But it's good to be here. I bring greetings in Jesus' name from Rosedale Mennonite Missions, from Rosedale Bible College, and from the Conservative Conference. You are part of the Conservative Conference group of churches. About 120 churches, from New York to Delaware to Florida to Arizona to Oregon. And you take 120 of us and spread us out that far, it gets a little thin. Although about a third of us are in Ohio and Indiana. So I guess Rosedale and CMC headquarters are in the right place to be centrally located. We come from a wide variety of backgrounds in the conference. How many of you here, I'm just curious, grew up in the Conservative Conference? Or let's even say in the Mennonite Church. How many didn't? Yeah, praise the Lord. That's awesome. That's the way it was in Pigeon, where we pastored too. We had a lot of names that didn't quite fit in with the Mennonite name game thing. And it was wonderful. That's the way it ought to be. And I guess that's what inspires me about missions, is because that's why God has called us. That's why you are here. You are here to touch your community. I heard a quote this week. It was on Christian radio, and I can't remember who said it. But he said, we are Christians who have been flown in and parachuted in behind enemy lines. Do you think of yourself as an undercover agent? Do you think of yourself as someone who is here to influence the community around you? Or do you come here to be safe and comfortable? I like being safe and comfortable, personally. I like it a lot. But is that what we've been called to do and be? So we're going to talk about that this morning. As part of Rosedale Mennonite Missions, I get excited about what God is doing around the world. I get to see that and hear that. But I also get excited about what I hear God is doing in these communities. London Christian Fellowship, and how you are touching and reaching out to your community here. Rose Dominant Missions, who I represent, is an amazing organization. It's interesting to me. In fact, take out your bulletin inserts this morning. I forgot that was going to be in, but I'm going to use... On the back side, it talks just a bit on the right, keeping our financial perspective. And these 120 churches that are us, you own us. Keith and I work for you, okay, in a sense. Those 120 churches have a budget of about $2.4 million per year. And I did a little math. There's about 12,000 members, of which you are each a member, in the Conservative Conference. And it costs us about $7,500 a day to run RMM. Does that seem like a lot or not? Seems like a lot to us. That's why we need your offering, so Keith and I get paid. But I figured it out. It's about 64 cents a day for each one of us. 64 cents a day. I don't know what percentage of your income that is. What percentage is 64 cents of your daily income? But at first I thought $7,500 a day is an incredible number for 12,000 of us. But at 64 cents, it broke it down, because I often stop at Beans and Cream in Mechanicsburg and I pay $1.40 for a cup of coffee. I'm thinking, for the investment in the kingdom, I need to be doing more. So you can read that. But mostly why I'm here this morning is to say thank you. Thank you for those gifts. Thank you for supporting Rosedale Mennonite Missions. To thank you for the partnership that we feel with you. We want to be there to help you do missions here. And we thank you for helping us do missions out there. And that's what excites me. And I'm also here to encourage you to increase your resolve and your passion for missions, to excite you with the possibilities of working with us to reach those who haven't heard, and to excite you with the opportunities right around you here in your community, in your county. It's not an either or, but rather a both. When you individually or as a congregation send a check to us, or any other mission organization, you're not off the hook. Now, it's easiest to send a check. And you can somehow think, well, I've done my mission part for today. But what has God called you to do where you work? In your school? What has God called you to do for your neighbor? In your community? How are you reaching them? I heard a quote recently that I don't know if I like, and I'm not even quite sure it's true yet, but I'm working on it. If you are a Christian, you are either a missionary or an imposter. If you are a Christian, you are either a missionary or a fake. Do you like it? Is it true? I think it is. Whether I'm there or not, whether I'm making the grade or not, I think it's true. God asks us for availability, for involvement. Yes, we at RMM have missionaries in Spain and Morocco and Thailand and Turkey, India, Bangladesh. You know that well. Tom and Candace from here are in Thailand. We call them missionaries, and they are, but does that mean we aren't? I pray not. As a Christian, you are either a missionary or an imposter. Keep working that one over in your mind. And that's what I like to think about this morning as we're together. the what of missions is found in Ephesians chapter 1. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Some of my favorite passages. Starting at verse 3. Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us. He chose you and I. He chose us first to know him, but then he also chooses us to minister in his name. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely has given us in the one he loves. To him we have redemption. I love the songs this morning, Rob. Talked about that redemption, that grace. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. That's the what. That's what gets me excited, because that's the news the world needs to hear. That's God's plan. In 1 Timothy we read, God our Savior wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Do I believe that about my neighbor? Let me tell you a little story about me. When I lived in New York yet, and I was a general contractor and pastoring, I took courses at a place not unlike Rosedale Bible College, called Elam Bible Institute. And I often went for evening classes, Saturday classes. It was an hour drive, but it was a little Pentecostal Bible school. Great, great teaching. And I took a class, I was taking a class on missions. And we were studying missions abroad, we were studying missions here at home. And this particular day, I often packed a lunch. I was a carpenter, so I was used to packing a lunch, but this day, for whatever reason, I didn't. And after my missions class, from 10:30 to 12, I went to a little greasy spoon restaurant. Just a little mom-and-pop diner. And I like to sit up to the counter, you know them, with the stools that swivel, you know. And I had my book on missions, can you see me? Stacked up here. And I was eating my burger and fries and Coke, whatever. I was into health food then. And I was into it. I love to read while I eat. Karen will let me read while we eat if I'm with her. She says it's rude. But I was reading my book on missions, okay? This is a scenario that might happen tomorrow here somewhere. And a little lady sat beside me who just was full of gab. She would not shut up. And I was annoyed. I wanted to read my book on mission. Now, it could be a neighbor. It could be somebody who comes over for whatever reason to your house, and you're busy. It's the idea here. And that little lady told me her life story, whether I wanted to hear it or not. I thought she was rude. I think I was the one who was rude. Her husband had passed away a year earlier. She had been to the cemetery every day since he died. And that little lady was hurting. That little lady needed the love of Jesus. And I, taking a course in missions, was annoyed. Finally, I had to put my book down and I listened. I was gracious. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, Tom, you have what she needs. You have the medicine that would heal her illness. Share it with her. And I'm not very proud to say, I did not do it. It was one of the best lessons and missions I ever had. I didn't do it. I listened. But I didn't offer her the bread. I didn't give her the living water. And I remember saying goodbye to her and going out in the van, and I had another class. I got through that class and I got back out to the van and I wept. I said, God. I went back to the restaurant. She, of course, was gone. I went back to the restaurant a lot of days. She was never there again. I don't know if I planted some seed in her life or not, but I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't do it obediently. And I wept and I said, Lord, give me another shot. I blew it. I said, Lord, I want to be a workman approved. You know that verse in 2 Timothy? I want to be a workman approved who correctly handles the word of truth. That's not just for Rob and Reuben. That's for all of us. That all of us would be a workman approved to tell, to be witnesses, to say what we've seen and heard. I said, Lord, give me another shot. And on the way home, I hadn't driven half a mile. There he was. This hand. There he was. I said, yes, Lord. And I picked that hitchhiker up. My wife doesn't like it when I pick up hitchhikers. I tried to do it carefully. And for the second time in the same day, somebody shared with me their life story. He just got back from Vietnam. That was the days. And his wife had run off with his kids and another guy. And he was hurt. Correctly handled the word of truth that afternoon. And I led him to Jesus. And on the overpass over the 390 interstate, he and I wept as he came back to a faith he once had but lost. God is calling us, brothers and sisters, to share what we've heard. That's what it's about. That's why Tom and Candace are in Thailand. That's why you're here. It's not that God didn't call you to go anywhere. God called you here. Who do you know? Who are you going to have coffee with tomorrow? Or work with tomorrow? Or go to school with tomorrow? Who's your neighbor? That's what drives me. That's what drove Jesus. That's God's plan, that all would know Him. It's the message of life, the good news of Jesus. As we sang, it changes hearts and lives. It redeems and saves. For God so loved the world. Jesus came to set us free now and forever. And that's the what of missions. That's why we do it. That's the message. Way back in Genesis 12, God said, I'm going to bless you, Abram, so you bless others. You and I have been blessed. We've got the good news. If I had the cure to AIDS and I went to Africa and didn't do anything with it, you'd think, but we do it all the time here. I do. And God wants us to share it. It's the beautiful message. It's the truth of life, the solution, the meds that heal, the water of life. The next is the why. Why missions? Who said? One reason is the fact that unless people hear and respond, they're separated from God now and forever. For Karen and I, that's more real than ever. most of you don't know us, but our 30-year-old son passed away 5 months ago. And his walk to faith was an amazing walk. He came to know the Lord in a powerful way as a young guy and then went to college and university and lost his way. And I don't know if it was the cancer that brought him back to the Lord, but he finished strong. And for Karen and I, life looks different now. It's not quite as permanent as we thought. We aren't here quite as long as we thought we were. And for Karen and I, our roots don't go quite as deep anymore here in this soil. Because we've got an inheritance somewhere. But as I think about sharing, even with that little old lady, I pray that I planted some seeds and someone else finished for me, behind me. And I pray I see that little lady in heaven someday. But who is it that God has called you to be Jesus to? We're not here forever. And the people who are around us aren't either. Jesus said to you and I, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." We know that scripture well. "And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I will be with you." Jesus says, "Hey guys, at London Christian Fellowship, I will be with you." Jesus loves the world, and he wants to love the world through you and I. Our God is a missionary God, and he desires that we are missionaries. That was the what and the why. Here's the who, and we've already talked about it. The heart and passion of Jesus was to redeem the lost. He's no longer here in bodily form, but guess what? You and I are. In London, I'm told, there's a huge statue of Jesus. In fact, it was there before World War II. And during the bombing, the German bombing on London, the arms were blown off of this statue, and there were those who, after the war, wanted to replace the arms, replace this statue of Jesus to its former condition. And they decided not to. And there's a plaque under it that says something to the effect, "He has no arms but yours. He has no feet but yours. He has no voice but yours." Now, that's not quite true. God can speak independently of people in the lives of unbelievers. We hear about it happening in the Muslim world all the time because a lot of them, one of the ways the Muslims are coming to know Christ is through dreams. And through visions. So we know God works in other ways, but God's main way of reaching the lost is through us. And this morning, I just want to encourage you. You know, I'd like to know what you're thinking right now. Who are you thinking of? Who do you know you should have talked to? Or tomorrow you should talk to? Who do you know? I pray that we would be a people who continually say, "Lord, who is it today? Who needs to be encouraged? Who needs to be listened to? Who needs to be guided and led to Jesus?" The who is us. We're told, Jesus told us numbers of times, "Imitate me. Do what I do. Love like I love. Forgive like I forgive." And in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses." Just thinking about that recently. What's a witness do? Does a witness have to be a professional in the field? A witness isn't a lawyer. A witness is just somebody who tells what they've seen and heard and experienced. You know, so often we think, well, we'll let Rob and Tom do the witnessing because I don't know what I'd say. Right? I've done it, of course. But God is calling each of us to share our story, to listen. Tell about the love we have experienced, the forgiveness we've experienced. And I pray for a revival in our American churches, that we can get away from the reason for church is to bless ourselves, to be blessed. But actually, when the reason for the church is that we are the tool that God wants to reach out to our world through. My dad had a saying, get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. Now, my dad didn't follow that, but some people are like that. They come to church, feed me, Rob. I want to be blessed. But God calls us to be part of this fellowship, to go out. I'm delighted to see the plans on the wall back there. Because it means you don't fit in here anymore. Hallelujah. And I pray you're not building it for you. I pray you're building it for the people out there who are going to come and be part of your fellowship. That's what I pray. Turn in the book of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Just Paul, like Jesus, used pictures to help us understand. He knew that Tom Beachy was too dense to get the theology, so I got to give it to him in stories. I got to give it to him in pictures and help him see it. And I'm going to just walk through a few passages here in 2 Corinthians where Paul tries to help us just get a little picture of what it might mean to reach out to those around us. Chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, verse 3. This is picture number one. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. No problem with that statement. Karen and I have experienced God's comfort in the last 5 months like we never have from God's people. We have all been comforted by this God of comfort who comforts us in all our troubles. Why? So we're comfortable? What's it say? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort we ourselves have received from God. That's picture number one. Who do you know that's hurting? Comfort them. You don't have to be a theologian. This is missions. Who do you know that's hurting? Write them a note. Call them up. Invite them over. You know what to do. The Holy Spirit will show you how to be a comfort to them. It's picture number one. Be a comfort. Picture number two. We're going to skip through here. Chapter 2, verse 14. This is just another... Paul is trying to give us little snippets to help us understand, but thanks be to God, chapter 2, verse 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. How do you guys smell? Kind of an interesting question, isn't it? We just had a couple girls come back from Turkey. And there were two Christian girls. One of them was one of our RMM interns, living with two Muslim girls. And the Muslim girls said, every time you two Christians prayed, we smelled the difference. Now, I don't think Paul was talking about something that you use with your nose here. Last night, Karen and I drove back from Archbold, Ohio. We passed over a skunk. There are different odors, true? How do you smell? Are you attracting people by your fragrance? The Bible often talks about this fragrance that we have. And we know those people, you know those here at LCF, who have a certain fragrance about them that you want to be with them. Now, God has given us all different gifts. We may not all have the same wooing capacity, but we all need to have a fragrance. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Skip down a little farther in chapter 3. Paul's trying to help us understand how this is. We are behind enemy lines. We are undercover agents for Jesus. We're not to act weird. We're not to hole up like some of our... Well, I have one of my best friends is an Amish pastor. He's a cousin of mine. And I said, man, how do you justify separating yourselves from the world, the same world that Jesus came to reach? How do you figure that out? And I know we like to be comfortable, but God wants us to mix with them. Now, it doesn't mean we become sinful like they, just to get a voice with them. But we need to be out there. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 2. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You will be read tomorrow. I remember doing construction work a couple times. I said some words that were inappropriate. And the plumber, who had no clue who Jesus was, says, yo, Beachy, you're a Christian. Why are you talking like that? Boy, that cut. Ah, man. You are being read. Your letter is being read this week. What are they reading? What are they smelling? Are you offering comfort? This is really good stuff here. We could go on and on. The end of chapter 3 is another little picture. Now, verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. You know, this morning, I'd like you to see Tom up here. Aren't I something? But I don't want to. I want to reflect Jesus. I want you to see Jesus in me, not Tom. And you and I have the Spirit of Jesus in us. Don't be afraid. Let it show. Let it show. And you will all do it differently. You will all do it differently. And then one more, and then I'm done. Over in chapter 5, just one more picture, and I like this one too. Verse 20 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. When I was a contractor, I built a big house for the ambassador of the United States to Panama. Most of the year he lived in Panama. He was the ambassador of the United States for Panama. So when he would go to Panama, he would speak in place of the President of the United States. He was representing all of us. He was representing our government to the government of Panama. And I asked him, how do you know what to say? Well, he said, I got to stay studied up. I got to stay in close touch with the president and with what our government policies are. That's kind of like us. We got to stay in touch too. But you and I have the Holy Spirit in him. He did not have the spirit of the President of the United States in him, so he knew what to say. No. But you and I have the living God, the Spirit of the living God in us, so that we can be his ambassadors to say for Jesus what he might say if he was here. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God's doing a work in our world, brothers and sisters. There are exciting things happening in missions. Mission agencies are working together as never before. Some of the barriers of territory are breaking down, and we are working with other groups because Jesus said that everyone will hear and then the end will come. I don't know when that is. But God has given you and I 70 years, for our son, 30 years. My great-grandparents' generation didn't get the job done. And my parents' generation didn't get the job done. And my generation isn't, but we've all been working on it. And I believe there is going to come a time, maybe not so far away, when all will have heard. Let's do our part. Let's be a part of it. You guys, I can't reach your community. I can't get in your schools. I don't work with who you work with. But you can. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the call on our lives to just be us with your Spirit, to just use the gifts that we have to be witnesses. And Lord, I thank you for this congregation who has shared with us at RMM and is helping us take the gospel around the world. And Lord, I thank you that we can partner with congregations like London Christian Fellowship. And Lord, I pray, encourage them to be Jesus here in their hometown, in their neighborhoods, in their schools, in their workplaces. Oh God, I pray your anointing over this group of missionaries before me this morning. God, just speak to them right now about who it is they need to comfort, or who it is they need to reflect Jesus to, or who it is they need to be a letter written by you for. Lord, we are your ambassadors. We desire, Lord, to speak your words on your behalf. Lord, I pray your anointing over the leadership here, the elder team, the teachers, and everyone. Lord, I pray they have a sense that this is not about us, but it's about you. Oh, bless them, Lord, I pray, with your power and strength, with your joy to share and be God's people in this community. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. It's good to be here. And we at RMM pray for you as the churches out there often. And just know that. Thank you for your prayers for us.